Verily, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Indeed, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to misguide, none can guide him back to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity that is worthy of our worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final worshipper and his most perfect messenger. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, be conscious of Allah, have taqwa of Allah, as He deserves that you have taqwa of Him, and do not die except in a state of submitting yourselves to Him. And our Lord Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and say the best of all speech. If you do so, He shall set your affairs straight, and He shall forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved the ultimate success. My dear brothers and sisters, every so often, another calamity besieges our community. And we have to remind ourselves, what is the wisdom? What is the purpose? Why is it that any community is tested over and over again? And in fact, this question even leads some people to reject faith itself. For one of the most common causes for people leaving religiosity is the question, why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much evil? Why are there so many calamities taking place in the world, globally, internationally, nationally? So we as believing Muslims need to look at the Quran and the Sunnah, and we need to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of trials and tribulations? What is the purpose of going through one calamity and one tragedy after another? Or to be very, very simplistic, what is the wisdom in the existence of such pain and suffering and evil? And of course, this question has been addressed by thousands of theologians of all different religions. And a short sermon today cannot answer in every detail. Nonetheless, to remind ourselves, to bring about some consolation, to bring about some peace to our souls, allow me to summarize some of the main evidences, some of the main responses that we find in the Quran and in the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Realize firstly, brothers and sisters, that what we call evil or harm or suffering always is the exception and not the rule. Think about it. Any calamity, be it a sickness, be it an earthquake, be it a tsunami, that is not the default. It's always the exception. It's always something that occurs and happens and then is lifted up. The default is the earth is not shaking in an earthquake. The default is most of humanity is healthy. Most of us are healthy for most of our lives. Sickness is a temporary occurrence. Any other type of disaster, any other type of evil is not the default. Rather, the default is that there is good. The default is that there is health. The default is that there is peace. And anything that changes this is but a exception to the general rule. And this is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Rahman and the Rahim. Also realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that we need the existence of evil in order to understand and appreciate the good. We would not understand how blessed we are to have good health if once in a while we didn't fall sick. We would not appreciate the blessings of any of our blessings if not they were taken away or shaken or at least altered for a period of time. So in fact, every single calamity helps us appreciate what we have in a manner that nothing else would do. We would never ever appreciate any blessing unless that blessing was somehow jolted, threatened, taken away. And therefore, even in this, there is an affirmation of the blessing rather than an affirmation of the evil. Because the evil reinforces the blessing. The harm, the suffering, the tragedy reinforces the default, which is the blessings that our Lord has given us. As well, my dear brothers and sisters, every single calamity, every single suffering brings about much more good. And you could not have the existence of good without the existence of some evil. Simple example. We are required by our religion to be charitable and generous. We are required by the Sharia to give our zakah and our sadaqah. So the question arises, if there were no orphans, if there were no widows, if there were no poor people, how could we be giving our sadaqah and charity? How could anybody be generous? How could anybody be kind unless there were people who deserved that kindness? There were people who deserved that charity. So in reality, we believe that the existence of harm and suffering actually has a far greater wisdom, a far greater good, and that is to bring about the good of humanity, the good of the believers, the good of charitable, generous, loving people. As well, dear brothers and sisters, of the blessings of the existence of evil, because we believe that even this harm has some benefit, and in fact, we believe the benefit is more than the harm. Of the blessings, of the wisdom of the existence of evil, is that it allows all of us to reconnect with our Creator, to become more spiritual. The fact of the matter is that our hearts become hard when we are oblivious to the pain and suffering around us. The fact of the matter is that perpetual enjoyment causes us to be disconnected from our religion, from our Creator, from our worship. So when a calamity befalls, when a musibah, a fitna, a disaster takes place, every one of us reconnects with our Lord. And all you need to do is to see what happens in any family when a tragedy occurs, when a death takes place, when a sickness, when a child is sick, anything. What happens? The whole family comes together. The whole family comes close to the religion. The whole family rediscovers that connection that is necessary with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, in this, there is great wisdom as well. As Ibn al-Qayyim remarks, the famous scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, as he said, that any calamity and any musibah, any trial that brings you closer to Allah is not a calamity or a trial. Rather, it is a blessing in disguise. Because there is no greater blessing than to be connected with Allah. There is no greater gift than to have a direct relationship with Allah. So anything that gives you that relationship is worth it. So any tragedy that causes you to rediscover your faith, that causes you to reconnect with Allah, is not really a tragedy. It is in fact a blessing in disguise. Because the good that will come out of it outweighs infinitely any harm and tragedy that might occur. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am verse 42, that we sent upon them ba'sa and dharra, hardships and calamities, la'allahum yatadarra'un. Allah is talking about a past nation. He's talking about a previous civilization that were inflicted with certain calamities. What was the wisdom? Allah does not take pleasure in punishment. Allah does not take pleasure in sending down azab. So why is Allah sending down azab to certain civilizations? Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that they may reach out to us, so that they may invoke us. Allah says in the Quran, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What will Allah gain by any type of punishment inflicted upon you? What will Allah gain by punishing you? But as long as you are thankful and calling out to Him. In other words, one of the purposes of any type of suffering is to appreciate the blessings of Allah, to be thankful, and to reach out to Him, to make dua to Him, to pray to Him, to invoke Him for our needs. So of the wisdoms and blessings of calamities is that we rediscover the importance of spirituality, because nothing brings about peace in our lives like a connection with our Creator. No pleasure, no joy is infinite other than the joy of understanding the purpose of one's life. And this is why calamities and trials and musibas, they help us in this regard. Of the wisdoms and of the blessings, if you like, of the existence of suffering and harm, is that it is through passing the tests that are inflicted upon us that our ranks are raised up. We firmly believe in heaven and hell. We believe in paradise and we believe in levels of paradise. How are some people chosen to get to the highest of levels? What prefers one group over another? Our Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. When Allah loves a group of people, when Allah loves a group of people, what does He do? Shower them with blessings, send money upon them as rain. إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. He tests them. He sends upon them tests. So by passing the tests, their ranks are raised higher and higher and higher. So much so that the highest of all people are the most tested. Look at our prophets. What did our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The most tested of all humanity are the prophets. Look at our father Ibrahim, Abraham. It is said that no one was tested like Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested. One trial after another. Why? What is the wisdom of testing one of the greatest prophets of Allah? To raise his ranks higher and higher, and so that he may serve as a role model for all future generations. That one personality who is revered by Jews and Christians and Muslims, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. How did he get to that rank? Allah says, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita. Ibrahim was an entire ummah. Allah says that Ibrahim is an imam. Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. I'm going to make you a leader to all of mankind. How did Ibrahim become an imam to all of mankind? By passing each and every test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with. So of the wisdoms of trials and tests, of the wisdoms of tribulations, of harm, of suffering, is that we firmly believe that by passing each and every test, our ranks rise up, our faith is reinforced. It's like that vaccination. You start off at a low dosage, then you increase more and more until you become more and more immune. We as Muslims believe that our faith is tested, and we also believe no one is tested with a test that he doesn't have the potential to pass. Allah will never place on you a test that you cannot pass. If you fail it, this is your own failing. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. No soul is tested with more than what it can bear. So any trial, any calamity, any musibah that afflicts me and you, realize that Allah knows we have the potential, the iman, the faith, the requirements to pass that test. If we didn't, we wouldn't be put in that test. So if Allah knows we have the courage and iman to pass that test, then in reality the test is not for Allah, it is for us. Because Allah knows we can pass if we wanted to. Or else He wouldn't put us in that test. And when we pass that test, our ranks are raised up. Our thawab, our reward, our rank in Jannah, our standing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it is increased. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that those who are beloved to Allah are the most tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are tested and we pass those tests, not only are our sins forgiven, our faith is reinforced. Our iman comes out stronger. Each and every test makes our faith even stronger in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well, my dear brothers and sisters, of the wisdoms of the existence of suffering and pain, is that in one sense, pain is indeed relative, suffering is relative. Allah says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It is very possible that you dislike something, but that very thing is for your own good. You don't know the wisdoms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. Our example in front of Allah is like the example of a baby that's being vaccinated by the parents. And the parents know that that baby is going to suffer through the needle, the print prick. The parents know this, but they realize that the child needs this vaccination. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And to Allah belongs the most perfect example. Just like we understand, this baby cannot be explained. The baby does not have the wisdom, but we know, surely Allah is infinitely wiser. Surely Allah is infinitely wiser. And what did our Prophet ﷺ say? Exactly this example, that when he passed by and he saw a woman frantically searching for her child, her baby was lost on the battlefield, and she found the baby and she screamed with joy. What did our Prophet ﷺ say? Do you think this mother will ever harm her child? Do you think this mother will ever throw her child into a fire? They said, no, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, no mother would ever do this. What did our Prophet ﷺ say? Lallahu ashad. Allah has more rahmah upon his servants than this lady has upon her children. Allah loves you more than this lady loves her child. Yet still the mother sometimes must discipline the child. Yet still sometimes the mother must do something. She knows the child will suffer some harm, but she knows it is for a greater good. So if we truly trust in the love of Allah, if we truly trust in the wisdom of Allah, if we have iman in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must also accept that wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you do not know. And the story of Musa and Khadr that I've discussed on this minbar, on this pulpit last year, a whole series I gave on the story of Musa and Khadr and what happened to them. Each and every calamity that took place, by the end of the story we see that in fact that calamity was not a calamity. That calamity was a blessing in disguise. The fishermen who lost their ship, in the end of the story they thanked Allah for having lost their ship at that point in time. The child, every single story, at the end of the story, they are so grateful. And you know what? We don't even have to quote past incidents and long folk tales of old. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you, each and every one of you, to look back at an incident in your own lives. To look back at a calamity, at a disaster a few years ago in your own lives. And at the time that it happens, you question yourself, how, why, what is going on? I thought I did everything right. I didn't get the job. That didn't happen. It didn't work out. I lost something that was precious and I didn't expect to lose this. And you wonder, why? Now when you look back after so many years, you realize, you know what, there was a wisdom that caused me to do X, to do Y. It caused me to fortify. It caused me to become courageous. It brought about a change that I am forever grateful for. And had it not been for that calamity, I would not be standing here the man that I am today. We know this from our own personal lives. So then why do we doubt the next time a calamity happens that there is some wisdom we don't understand? Even if we don't know it, we believe there must be a wisdom behind it. Of the wisdoms of the existence of harm and evil as well, is that we need to understand over and over again that the purpose of this life is to be tested and tried. This is what this life is for. Allah created us in order that we worship Him in the most perfect manner. And Allah will test us to see if we truly have that worship or not. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. All praise is due to Allah, the one in whose dominions is everything, and the one who is all powerful, the one who has created death and life. Why? So that He may test you to see who amongst you are the most righteous in your lives. The purpose of this life is nothing but a test for the next life. So how else will tests take place except through exams, through trials, through tribulations? We need to continuously remind ourselves that Jannah is the next life, not this one. Paradise is awaiting, not here. A lot of people ask, and especially agnostics and atheists, why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Why is there evil? And the vision of the world they have, we respond to them, you know, we believe in that vision. We believe in a world without pain. We believe in a world without suffering. We believe in a world of ultimate bliss. But that world is not this world. That world is to come. And it will be given to those who truly designate, who truly demonstrate, who truly show that they have courage and faith and conviction, that they believe in the promises of Allah, that they're willing to abide by the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Those are the people, if they live according to that lifestyle, if they worship Allah consistently, persistently, then that world that you're demanding of me, I will be blessed with it. But it is not this world. This is not the world of paradise. This is the world where there is going to be death. There is going to be suffering and pain, but that's not the default. The default is, alhamdulillah, it's good, but once in a while some pain and suffering will also happen. But this is not the world of eternity. And that's why Allah mentions death before life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ He created life and death, because this is not the eternal life. Even the agnostic and atheist must acknowledge that life comes to an end. Then what? That's where religion comes into play. And that's where people of faith say, life is simply a test. If you pass it in accordance with the laws of your Creator, your life will be an everlasting life. It will be the life that you desire, the life that you envision, but that is not this life. So of the wisdoms of trials and tests is to remind us of our own mortality. We are not gods. We don't control anything. It is Allah who controls everything. Of the wisdoms as well, of tests and trials and tribulations. And this one is a little bit philosophical, a little bit profound, and somewhat controversial. But Allah mentions it explicitly in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا ولعلهم يرجعون. Allah has caused fasad, and fasad means evil and pain and bloodshed and wars. Allah has caused evil to spread throughout the seas and throughout the land. Why? Because of the sins men have done. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ وَلِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا And so that Allah can give them a taste of what they themselves have done. In other words, we as Muslims believe that every single suffering and pain is in fact a fraction, a bit of what we ourselves have done to harm others, or to harm the environment, or to harm the world around us. And Allah is saying, He is giving us a taste of our own medicine. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that they may desist, they may cease causing that harm and go back to correct ways, go back to being merciful and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, it is so true. Look at how callous and cruel so many societies have become. We spend trillions of dollars in weaponry to kill other people. Trillions of dollars in our budget in quote-unquote defense, which is in fact killing of others, even as people don't have food to eat in our own societies, even as people don't have shelter. Look at the number of homeless, and the cold is upon us, and we drive by almost every intersection and there are people begging for food, even as there is plenty of money. And let's not just blame the government and the powers that be, we as well. We are not prioritizing where we should spend our money. Our selfishness, our greediness is used for other things while people are suffering. So Allah is saying, this evil that you're suffering, this is a taste of your own greed, of your own corruption, of your own fasad. You have demonstrated some types of evil, so in return, I will give you a taste of a fraction, ba'd. Because if Allah were to deal with us in that manner, we would not be alive. Allah says in the Quran, لَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ If Allah were to deal with people the way that they deserve, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّ Not a single creature would remain on this earth. Allah Azza wa Jal is not fair with us when it comes to sins. Allah is infinitely generous. Allah gives us infinitely more than we deserve. And He overlooks infinitely more than what He might, if He were to take into account, cause us to be destroyed by. So Allah Azza wa Jal is not dealing with us the way we deal with other people. No, He is Al-Kareem, He is Al-Mannan, He is Al-Rahman, Al-Ra'uf, Al-Rahim. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, of the wisdoms that, because of which harm and suffering exists, is so that we may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that we have not acted in accordance with our own sharia and our own faith. And brothers and sisters, what is to be done in the light of all of this evil and suffering? I have given other khutbas about this, but a very quick summary. First and foremost, most importantly, do not lose faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not feel despondent and despair. Always be optimistic. Always put one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well, realize that sabr and tawakkul and iman and qadr, all of these things are necessary to overcome every single calamity. As well, when we face every calamity, we should realize that this calamity, Allah Azza wa Jal knows that we can pass it, and that is why He is placing it on us. If we could not pass it, we would not be facing that calamity. So this gives us a sense of yaqeen, a sense of tama'nina, a sense of peace that Allah is not putting on us more than we can possibly pass. We will be able to pass it if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as well, as I said in multiple times, one of the main wisdoms for the existence of suffering and harm is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase our prayer, to increase our dua, to increase whatever we can do. And the final point that we mention is that, and with this we conclude the first khutbah, brothers and sisters, is that the existence of evil is not something that we cherish. It's not something that we're happy at. No. Of the wisdoms of the existence of evil, I said this, the second point, is so that we fight it with good. So that we fight it with good. So that we take out the goodness and we use it to eliminate evil, even realizing that we're never going to be 100% successful. There's always going to be some pain, some suffering, some hunger, some wars, some bloodshed. You're never going to eliminate it. But we are not happy with status quo. And any amount of evil is too much. And so of the wisdoms and of what we need to do is that when hatred, when animosity, when pain and suffering increases, we need to stand up and take on that challenge and try to eliminate to the best extent possible any harm and any hardship and any evil. And in that, in fighting against evil, that is of the best ways to eliminate evil. Our religion doesn't tell us to sit on our behinds and say Allah will take care of everything. No, Allah will take care of everything if we stand up and we fight for what we believe is justice and truth, and we do what we can to be generous and kind, then and only then will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And this is of the most important ways to eliminate the pain and suffering in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us iman and ikhlas in this regard. Barakallahu wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihim al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfiru Allah al-Azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Brothers and sisters, all of us are in shock and in grief at what has happened in California, and our thoughts and our prayers go out to those who have been senselessly killed. And we unequivocally condemn anyone who has done this dastardly deed, regardless of whether their motivations were personal or they're linked to any other cause. We firmly believe as Muslims that it is completely impermissible to take the life of another without just cause. Allah says in the Quran that we have inspired the children of Israel. We instructed the children of Israel with a commandment we're going to instruct you with as well. And that is, أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. Whoever kills one human being without any justifiable cause, it is as if he has killed all of humanity. So there are no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We unequivocally condemn any such senseless killing. We also point out that as of yet, the motives of the people that have been accused are still murky. We do not understand. There are a lot of theories going around. And until more information comes out, it is best for us to keep our speculation to a minimum. However, brothers and sisters, we all know that unfortunately, whatever their motives were, whether it was personal, whether it was a mental issue, whether there are other causes, unfortunately, the American Muslim community will be taking the brunt of the backlash. That the fact of the matter is that already news channels and already self-appointed media pundits have begun painting all of us with a broad brush of terrorism and of secret ISIS cells and whatnot. And we have to be extra vigilant. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, we, as it is, have battled so many Islamophobic attacks, so many campaigns against us. We are now being used as a pawn in a far greater game of who's going to be the president. Each president is trying to jump frog over the other by painting us in an even more sinister fashion. The fact of the matter is that there are politics involved when it comes to smearing us Muslims. And there's not much we can do, yet at the same time, we have to do what we can. And of the things that we can do, brothers and sisters, is to make it known that we are against any type of senseless killing. And so also put it into context. The fact of the matter is that there have been over 360 mass shootings in this year alone. In this year alone, over 360 times people have gone berserk with a gun. And the fact of the matter is that in each and every one of those circumstances, the religion and other ideologies were simply dismissed and the person is considered to be a crazed, deranged lunatic. Yet, when it is a brown-skinned person with a Muslim name, as you all know, they bring our religion into it. And of course, this double standard is very palpable. It's very clear. When a person of the Christian faith or a Caucasian background does something, they do not bring in the faith. They do not bring in the ethnicity. It is considered to be an aberration to the rule. Yet when a Muslim does something, we all know all of us have to pay the price of that crime. And therefore, brothers and sisters, please do your best to be extra vigilant. We do not want any person to be hurt. Unfortunately, we've already heard of a number of verbal and even physical attacks after the French bombings a few weeks ago were even physical, and a number of cases of sisters with hijab in particular. So please, brothers and sisters, be extra vigilant. Try your best, sisters in hijab, not to be in a place that might bring about any cause. If anybody comes up and begins a harsh conversation or you feel threatened, realize the ultimate priority is your safety. That is the ultimate priority. Not to engage in dialogue, not to try to defend anything. The ultimate priority is your physical safety. So if you feel threatened in any manner, have a phone accessible. Do not try your best not to be in a place where you are alone, where somebody can come and gang up on you. And as well, sisters, perhaps at this time it is safe to maybe only go with your husband or other people, not go alone, because the fact of the matter is that unfortunately women in hijab are a primary target, probably because the hijab is a more identifiable marker as being a Muslimah, and we don't want anything to happen to anyone as they are here. Here in the masjid as well, we have taken some precautions as well, and we have police as well that are going to be here for the next few days, just in case anything of that nature happens. And just if the situation is not threatening, if somebody genuinely comes up to you wanting to know, then feel free to engage in a dialogue and give them the standard talking points, and that is that I am not responsible for the crimes of another person with my skin color, with a vaguely similar sounding name, just like you are not responsible for the crimes of anybody of your skin color or a vaguely similar name. It is not fair to bring me and link me to anybody else. Another talking point is that there are good and bad peoples in every faith and every religion. Just like you recognize in your own community there are crazy people, so Muslims are humans and there are crazy people as well amongst the Muslim community. Another talking point is you can talk about gun violence as well. That we also want to talk about the broader issue of gun control. Don't just concentrate on this one issue. 360 cases of gun violence have occurred, and we as a country need to take a step back and ask ourselves, why is America the only country in the world where this takes place? Why? It's not even as if there's a close second or third and we're number one. No, it's literally we're the only country in the world, even in places where there's civil war going on. Even in places where there's actual qital, people don't just go and shoot in a kindergarten. They don't just go in a theater and shoot people. There's a civil war, they might shoot the opposing faction, and innocents die in that process. But the type of deranged mad men that come and shoot, for some reason, it's somewhat of a uniquely American phenomenon. So all of us collectively, Muslim and Jews and Christians and atheists, we all need to take a step back and ask ourselves, what is different about this land? Rather than concentrating on this one case, there is a serious problem in this land about gun violence. And that's a conversation that transcends any faith and religion. And brothers and sisters, in case anything happens, already I have heard a number of reports of Islamophobic statements and issues, and even in a local school, unfortunately, as well, one of the teachers did something extremely un-American and actually illegal, asking the children their religious backgrounds and asking the Christians to raise their hands and the Muslims. We have all of these stories coming in, and as well, my own son, I asked him as well what's going on in his school, and he mentioned that his classmates are already teasing him and whatnot, and my response to him was that, look, even if they tease you, please do not tease back and make any joke back at them, because your words will be held against you, not theirs. Do not make any ridiculous comments, any stupid jokes. He's just a teenager, but you need to teach your kids this. The times we live in, you saw what happened with Ahmed and his clock, right? The times we live in, teach your children. This is not the time to joke back. Be serious and dignified in your response. Defend your faith, but don't say, yeah, I'm going to go bomb the school. No, if your kids make fun of you, your classmates make fun of you, do not say anything back that is going to be used against you, because the climate that we're living in does not allow for any such jokes. Yes, it is true, others might get away with such jokes, but not us anymore. And unfortunately, our children, they need to be taught this quite explicitly. But if anything does happen of an Islamophobic nature, please come to us, come to me. We will take it to care. We'll take it to the lawyers, because that is the only way to fight against this evil. And that is to do what we can within our constitutional rights. We will not tolerate bigotry and racism. The priority is your safety. Once your safety is in check, once your safety is fine, then report to us, report to the local chapters of care. And if you don't know anybody, you can come to me directly. And inshallah ta'ala, we will deal with this. And inshallah, we'll continue to update you. And a final point tonight, because of what's happening and because of the situation, we have a guest, Sheikh Yasir Birjas, in town, good friend of mine as well. He was supposed to give a lecture about the importance of family and raising children. That's been canceled for tonight. Tonight at 8 p.m., we're coming together to have a community, open house with regards to what we can do about fighting Islamophobia with regards to protecting ourselves and our mosques and communities. So tonight at 8 p.m. Will be some practical advice from the both of us about how we can best answer our colleagues and our friends, and to take care of our families in this difficult time that we're living in. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi hadhi yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ghafir lana ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، قال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.